Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Hebrews. We thank you for the truth that is in it. Lord, we ask that you would direct our steps now. We pray that you would give us the mind of Christ, that we would be of one mind. Lord, that we would be able to discern and understand what your Spirit is saying through your word to us today. So bless our time. Bless the ones that are not here yet. Pray that they get here safely. And just bless our time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, we are whipping through Hebrews, so we're at Hebrews chapter 12. And I know Jeff last week did the first 10 or 11 verses of Hebrews chapter 12, but we whipped through the last five verses or so. So my thought was to not go all the way back, but maybe start with verse 9 and just that'll be our segue into 12 through 17. We may go further than 17, but your outline right now is set up through there. So if we go further, that's great. But okay, so would somebody like to read Hebrews 12 verses 9 through 17?
Jack.
Oh.
All right. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears.
Okay.
Oh, I thought I was going through 17.
Well, 17 right now. Yeah, because it starts, well, we may get into that, but it starts another.
I'll keep reading.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll get to that.
So, no, right,
it's all good.
The end,
it's all good.
So, yeah, this is a sobering passage. Just prior to verse 9, he's talking about if we endure chastening, and God deals with us as sons, like sons. And and he says now in verse 9, if we respected our earthly fathers, despite all their shortcomings, shouldn't we much more respect our Heavenly Father? Now, I don't know how I phrase this. What is the key to the chastening and the respect to your Heavenly Father? What is the key to that being a benefit to us? And not
like in Romans, is this Romans 5 says, tribulation produces perseverance, character,
yeah.
Hope, and the hope does not disappoint. So,
yeah.
Now,
can we be chastened over and over again and not experience the benefit of the chastening?
Yeah, because
some never learn.
The passage said, a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. If you're not trained by it, you're just going to keep getting it over and over.
Right.
I have to say, though, this passage about respecting, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it.
Yeah.
That may not be true for those of us who have had fathers who went a little bit overboard, way overboard. And then when you
abusive fathers.
When I became a Christian, I had a hard time with my Heavenly Father, thinking that he was going to be a punishing father, a punishing God, just like I was brought up with.
Yeah.
So, but he let me get over that through much prayer and much...
And that's the learning.
Tears on my part, but that's the learning part. That's the training part, right.
Yeah, we don't have a clear understanding of what a father really is. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But we are to respect the Lord and why he's doing what he's doing in us. And it says in that, where is it? And we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So to me, submission to our Heavenly Father is the key to life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when we reject his discipline and reject the things that he places upon us sometimes, it leads to the opposite of life, which is death.
I never read The Father of Spirits before. It's the first time I noticed it.
Mm.
It was today. And I'm just wondering, like, the Father of Spirits, is that like that he gives you the fruits of the spirits as you're being chastened and disciplined and being trained? Mm. You then get the fruits of the spirit?
Could be, but I thought it was this, you know, we as spirit beings. Right.
Spirit
he's the
being
Father.
You're talking about.
I thought.
Yeah, we're his children, so
yeah.
He basically
Father of spirits.
Yeah.
So he said the Father of the children.
This says Father of our spirit.
Oh, of our spirit.
Yeah, that's
okay. Right. Mine says of the spirits.
Mine says our spirits too.
Yeah,
oh,
I go
our
back,
spirits.
I go back to Genesis with that, with the God breathing into Adam.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what he breathed in, was the spirit. Yeah. And that is, everything in our being is made in the likeness of God, even.
Well, especially when you become Christians, the Holy Spirit is in us.
In my Bible has a little note here for Numbers 16:22, where it says, "But Moses and Aaron fell face down and cried out, 'O God, God of the spirits of all mankind, will you be angry with the entire assembly when only one man sins?'"
Right. I mean, all men are made in the image of God. When you receive the Lord, you get the Spirit indwelling. But all men are made in that image.
Mm-hmm.
And have that want for God, whether they know it or not. Yeah.
Hi, come on in. Good. So that's what I think it's. He's the Father of us. So.
Of our spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had some earthly fathers of our body.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, verse 10, it says, "For they indeed for a few days chastened us," meaning our earthly fathers, "as seemed best to them, but he, the Lord, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." So God chastens us as sons for our benefit, not for our destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to realize that, because if we don't have a misconception of that,
it's difficult.
Our whole attitude is different,
right.
And we don't
by
it.
For me, he had to conk me in the head a lot. I mean, it took me a long time to realize that he's not a punishing God, and if I don't do this or that or the other thing in a straight line, he's going to zap me. You know what I mean? It was hard.
Yeah.
Not so anymore, though. Not so at all. And it's a beautiful thing.
Now, there's one thing in here that says, it gives an example of, or one of the main reasons for the purpose of his discipline. What is that? Verse 10.
Share in his holiness.
Right. Yeah. We might partake of his holiness and share in his holiness. How do you understand that?
We can't partake in his holiness if we're mired in our own sin.
Okay, good.
And I think with the constant discipline, I was reading something and the image stuck with me. It's like you've got that picture up on that wall. You consider that sin, and we've taken that away, and we take that away. But what's going to be behind there is still going to be a square of the image of what had once been there. And as weak as we are, we have a tendency of still having that image on us. God will forgive our sins. We have a tendency sometimes of not forgetting them and still constantly going back and punishing ourselves. And this is where the discipline comes through, and like what I experienced between her earthly and heavenly fathers, it can take a while, and it's a constant, it is consistent disciplining, but it's done in love, and that's the only way that we can share in His holiness, mm-hmm. is by accepting our limitations and His perfection.
Yeah, and He renews our mind.
Yeah.
He just renews mm-hmm. our mind daily.
Yeah.
That image of sin is always with us. It's
right.
It's like in a hard drive. You can never get rid of it.
Yeah.
But God has forgiven us. As far as the east is from the west,
That's it.
Well, plus two, we're only holy through the blood of Christ.
Exactly.
Yeah. Only.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way that we can even experience holiness. So the more we submit to God, and the closer we become to Christ, the more holy, more we can understand that holiness, and we can understand in our earthly minds. But
you know, it's that image of sin. It's that's a temptation constantly drawing us away. But in James it says, you know, James 1:5, I think. No, 1:12. So blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of glory. Crown of life.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we're always tempted, but we could resist it.
Yeah.
And we learn that we're not tempted really. It's Jesus Christ within us that's tempted. He cannot fall to temptation.
Yeah. So Satan's always there. You know, he's crouching at the door.
Yeah, waiting.
But he who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. And also that 1 Corinthians 1:10, 1:13, 10:13 says, no temptation has taken
the crown of life. It says
it can be overtaken.
Yeah, that's what this says too.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like I learn like a Rosie. So when I want something or do something, so do I need it or I want it?
Mm-hmm.
And many times I want it. Mm-hmm. 99% I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learn to pray, dear God, give me, you know, help me here. Should I get it or just forget it? And I learned that the more I prayed about that, and it helped me less and less want it.
That's right.
I see it in myself.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of improve.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, our will becomes His will.
Because before, I just keep, you know, I like it. It's so cute, you know. Oh, it's like I need it. I want it.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, I want it.
And I should get it.
Right.
Which is a lie.
Or I deserve it or something.
Yeah, I deserve it.
I need, I want.
Yeah. You know, that's a good segue, because when I was thinking about this, you know, what God says, that God disciplines us so we can share His holiness. See, God wants to bless us, because God's a sharer.
Right.
You know, He wants to impart blessing to us. It says He wants to share His kingdom with us, right? That's what Jesus said. We are co-heirs and joint heirs with Christ. But one of the safeguards to that is holiness. If we received His power, if we received His knowledge, all His wisdom, without holiness, you know, what's going to happen? You know, it'll destroy us. It'll destroy us. But if we have God's holiness imparted in us, your attitude is changing. It's not for me.
It's for the kingdom. Yes, not even that, but everyday life. Like if somebody, you know, do something wrong to me, and in the past I feel like I want to revenge. I want to do something in return. And not right now, but in the future. I'm thinking about that. The scheme of something.
Yes,
so I have that opportunity to back. You know. But now, no.
Yeah.
Let it go. That's got there. We'll see into it.
Yeah. It's good.
Yes. It does change us.
Yeah. But holiness is a safeguard from us getting all puffed up and pompous, and the blessings overtaking us, and then we can't handle them, you know. Okay, let's see. Let's see, verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Have a seat.
Sorry, he just woke up.
I'm not supposed to say that.
I have good hat.
Okay. So, verse 11 again. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Okay, this is a good verse. So, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. He's not ignoring the fact that chastening can be difficult. You know, sometimes people just, they don't want any of the pain, but they want the benefit. You know, we're going to see more and more of that. But chastening is going to incur some pain at times.
Well, the word itself, chastening, is painful.
Yeah. But, so how is affliction, how does it bless us?
No pain, no gain. You know, you learn. It builds character if you give it to the Lord.
Right.
Either character or bitterness, it's your choice.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I think probably every one of us has a story of where we entered something that was painful, mm-hmm. and we were weak, and we came out of it stronger. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that for me, and that's why, you know, I was just reading that, thinking to myself, why don't we get this? This is history repeating itself. You know, when God does chasten us, we come out stronger. I mean, that's all part of it, is the learning process and growing closer to Him. And why don't we see that history, you know, repeat itself and say, you know, almost embrace the affliction and the difficult times, because those are the times that we grow the most and we come out of them stronger. We're better for it, you know, and yet we want to resist that. We want to not allow ourselves to go through that, you know.
And we don't want our kids to go through it.
No.
But
it's
crazy.
It's to our own consequences.
Right.
You know, there's the way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death and destruction. You know, like our friend who's a doctor just had this anger and bitterness against his boss. You know, his aorta blew up, and God gave him, and we talked to him about the Lord, gave him the gospel message, so hardened to he died, it was bitterness. Mm. So sad.
Yeah.
You know, you got to let it go, right. Give it to the Lord.
Yeah. Well, it was what we talked about before, affliction or chastening is intended to be a blessing, but sometimes it's not because of
the attitude.
Right.
You know.
And I think that's why we tend to not remember. It's our own pride. It's our own hubris to sit there and forget the past. Oh, we've done that already. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a been there, done that. When, I mean, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. You know, we got to be in this all the time. We have to remember that it's not a, oh, he did it on that date in 2011, so I'm cool now for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. It's not that.
That's the way I think, honest to goodness.
It's a
I mean,
thing.
Seriously, that's the way I see myself thinking that way. Hmm. Okay, but I've been through that. I don't have to go through that again. And then when it comes again.
Like, in a different way.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I thought I learned that.
Not again.
But the thing is that, when you're a new Christian, you really, really resist it. Mm-hmm. When you're an older Christian, you've been through it so many times.
I know better.
You see the earmarks, but your flesh reacts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With mm-hmm. And then, but then you know you need to go to a quiet place, and that He's going to teach you a lot of really good things.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yes,
it's a blessing, but you never just receive it as a blessing right away.
Yeah.
No, you know. Wait on the Lord.
No, you
got to wait.
And then,
and
then
you don't
wait on the Lord, and then it's wonderful.
Sometimes years later,
somebody
else will come into your life that you can comfort because of that.
Right.
It's so, God's plan is so multifaceted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're going through the exact same thing or whatever, and I believe that might be, you know, one of the the things that being trained by it can help others.
It's one of the benefits.
Mm-hmm. One of the benefits, yeah.
But all you have to do is, like, look at Abraham's life. He just kept going back around. Until finally he got there.
He got it. Yeah. Just like us.
And so I don't know what we think.
We live in the present.
Keep dying to ourselves.
We just worry about the present.
It's a better world than he lived in. That stuff doesn't happen, but it really does.
Well, that was Abraham, and you know, this is
We're different.
No, it's not.
Yeah. One of the key things it says in here is the term for the present, and then it says afterwards. You know, the mark of a child that's immature is all he thinks about is now.
Me.
You know, mom walks out of the room and Danny's crying like she'll never come back ever again. Yeah. Right? Because all he thinks about is right now. Mm-hmm. You know, but like you said, when you get more mature, you start looking ahead. You know, you start planning ahead. You start, you know, what you're willing to sacrifice the pain for now because of what you see down the road. You know, with athletics or what, or spiritually, or working hard in school. You know, you see a goal, you know you have to attain it, and you're going to have to experience some pain to get there, and you're willing to do it. But the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. You know?
But like anything else, it has to be a practice. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to focus on the Lord. I know when trials come in my life, it's like, oh, I know I got to turn my eyes on you, Lord. Help me keep my focus on you because you're going to work it out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just me. Oh, my gosh, then more junk comes out. They should have done this. They should have done that. You know, and you start thinking of other people instead of going this way, and then you get all messed up.
Right. Yeah, it becomes a discipline.
So you know you got to turn your eyes on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and,
you get sick with yourself very quickly.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to go there.
The Lord,
you don't go to the anxiety, worry.
Yeah, I don't want to stay here.
No, I know, but you want to really go home, Lord.
Yeah. Well, it says here that the peaceable fruit of righteousness it yields to those who have been trained.
Trained.
Right. So that word "trained," I didn't write down what it is in the Greek, but basically it refers to a gymnast. You know, someone who disciplines themselves, someone who learns to be flexible. Right. Someone who trains rigorously, you know, their focus.
It doesn't happen overnight.
No.
Oh, sorry. The Lord gave me a word, train. Oh, my gosh. The T, you've got to put Christ before the rain. Right?
The rain meaning stormy.
Stormy rain, but you have Christ who will take care of the storm, the rain, the thunder, the lightning.
But rain is good, though.
Well, there's good rain and no, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. So good, you know.
I don't know.
Blame the Holy Spirit. They like pop up.
In verse 11, my version says a harvest of righteousness. Well, a harvest is something you pick, right? Because it's ripe. You have to do something to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't get righteousness. You have to be trained into it.
Yeah.
And get peace.
I mean, if the wheat is ready for picking and you don't take it, it's going to die. It's going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So.
Yep. Yep. So we have to be trained. If we're not willing to be trained, then we're not going to get the result. One other thing I have here is that, you know, temporary suffering produces permanent righteousness. So if we have that vision, we'll see the fruit. I'll read James real quick. Harry, he was right just in there. Let's see. James, well, you know this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. You know, a lot of times when I was, in sports and stuff, one of my fears was quitting before the finish line. You know, like you're pushing, and you're like, what if it's the next game or the next quarter, and you stopped. You know, you did all that training and all that work, and then you didn't receive the reward. You know, so it kind of kept me pushing, and not quitting. And the same thing holds true here, I think, you know, when you have to, if you see the vision of where your goal is and what your destination is, you're willing to keep pushing, you know, keep going forward, keeping your eye on the prize, you know.
Right.
So, okay, training. Verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed.
Yeah.
Okay. So therefore. So when there's a therefore, we,
yeah, what
why
is it there for?
Right. Right. So why is that there?
Because of the people before us who've gone through it all already. And we can go through it. They're examples for us to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And since we understand that these, all the trials and tests that these people faced, and the trials and tests that we face, now we understand that they're to be embraced and not pushed away, how should we respond?
You know, yesterday, I just, Carl,
we can always talk about yesterday.
Carl and Frank came over, and I had the three dogs, and then, you know, they tangled me up, and I felt pam, and so I was bleeding on my left knee, and it's like, it's nothing compared with what Carla's going through.
Right.
So I just clean up, put a Band-Aid, and that's it. You know, you see the examples of others, and,
yeah,
you know, your trial is nothing.
I think verse 12 is telling us how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's calling us to do something, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. If anybody has ever had any part of their body immobilized for any period of time, you know that muscle quickly
atrophies,
and it doesn't quickly come back.
No.
It's something that you have to, like Carl is going through, you have to go and do something. You have to do therapy. You have to do exercise.
Yeah.
This is calling us to say that we're not just going to be trained instantly. This is something we need to practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hopefully others will have a more compassionate heart. You know, seeing what other people go through.
That's right.
Like Matt and Dee.
Right.
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I brought the garbage can for Carla, but she didn't show up. You turn it upside down to elevate her. What? She was going to try to come.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, yeah, so our response should be, you know, to get away from our dejection and our despair, our self-pity, or whatever it is,
yeah,
that's keeping us back, and gird ourselves up for the race that he says is set before us. That's what he's saying. And then I wrote down something that was, I was reading in Andrew Murray's book. He has a book called, now I don't even remember the name of it. Holiest of All, something like that. But it basically, he runs through Hebrews. He just goes through Hebrews. Anyway, he said the trials and tests, he said the world looks at them as an excuse to be despondent. The Christian views them as the proof of his love for us, the means of his grace, and the mark of his only son.
He's sovereign. That's what holds me.
Yeah.
He allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
But he allowed it to happen
to grow
for
us.
Our good and his glory.
Right. Exactly.
And those are our resources that we use to get through it. And
yeah,
the world doesn't have those resources.
Right.
Yeah.
They're trying to, instead of in God we trust, I saw a sign that says
in
reason
me.
We trust.
Yeah.
And that's how they're trying to get through that, in their own reason.
It's so opposite. Like, huh?
Yeah.
The world tactics are so opposite.
Yeah. You have to take God out of the sign that says in God we trust.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one word I kind of see in this is determination. You know, it says do something about, like you said, strengthen the hands that are limp, the knees that hang, that are paralyzed.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I saw hands. What is it? Hands, knees, and feet. Did it say feet?
Mine says arms. My version.
Yeah, hands that hang down. Arms and hand down, feeble knees, make straight the paths of your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do those signify?
It's a walk. It is a continual walk.
Right.
You know, Christian life is an uphill battle. Because we're playing in somebody else's ballpark. everything's against us. And the Christian life is a struggle to keep on the path. Like in Proverbs 4, many Proverbs, we have to stay on the path, pondering defeat.
Right.
In Psalms, it says, your word is a light unto your
path. My word is a light unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Yeah, because
you have to really ponder how you're walking. Because everything, just like our bodies, everything is against our bodies. You know, all the free radicals trying to destroy us. We all have cancer in our body, but our immune system is fighting it out constantly. The beginning of the precancerous cells in the body. So everything is against us, physically and spiritually. It's a fight.
Yeah.
You know, put on full armor of God.
Ephesians
6. Right. Not only the helmet of salvation. You can't run around streaking.
So that's why we need to fortify our bodies and our minds and hearts.
Spiritual and physical.
Build a fort.
That's good. Good.
There's our armor.
Yeah, well, most of us are streaking. We don't have the helmet. We just have the helmet.
And if we have this attitude, what will it lead to at the end of that verse? What will it bring?
Healing.
Healing. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's good. Good. Okay. Let's see if we can get through all this. Verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Okay. Someone want to read Matthew 5, 7 through 9? Someone else, 1 Corinthians 7, 15? While we're looking that up, you know, what are the two things here that the list that we need if we're to see the Lord? Peace and
to be holy.
Holy.
Right.
Matthew 5.
Someone have Matthew 5?
You want to read it, Daniel?
I'm doing that by
Beatitudes. A lot of you may not even know this.
Everybody go to 1 Corinthians.
Everybody went to 1 Corinthians?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I was stuck.
Go ahead, Tance.
Blessed are the merciful, for they should... Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
Right. Yeah. So the wisdom that comes from God is first pure, and then it's peaceable. You know, it's peaceable. And it's promised to us. Okay, 1 Corinthians 7, 15. It's just the second part of it, actually. There's one last sentence that I...
God has called us to live in peace.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Is that the part?
Yep. Is that what yours says?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. God has called us. Mine says God has called us to peace. Just peace. To peace. Mm. But I looked up that word peace, and it's in the Greek, it's irene, and it's a state of rest. It's just a calmness, an absence of strife. And harmonious relationships.
Leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
Yeah.
This is...
an absence of strife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, even if there's strife, you still have peace.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's an absence of strife in you.
Yeah.
You know.
The lesson I'm doing for the Sunday school today with the kids is, you know, to not associate with people who are lazy. You know, who won't carry their full share, and also people who stir things up. And so to stay away from them, you know, disassociate yourself from them, so that they'll be exhorted. So it's, you know, there's a difference. There's a difference.
Yeah.
It's like you don't embrace people that are stirring up or lying, causing divisions and.
Mm-hmm. It's not your responsibility. Our responsibility is to change them, right?
Right.
We can't bring them down.
But sometimes you can't avoid them if they're in your family.
Right.
So you have to just
No, but I think he's talking about, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
If you have a brother and sister in Christ that's doing that, you know.
Yeah.
you don't just accept it. And say,
when you talk about peace, it reminds me of a story I read long ago about a contest to a bunch of artists to depict peace on the canvas, and the person who won was a picture of an eagle high in the cleft of a rock with thunderstorm, violent winds, and the eagle is sitting on the cleft of a rock at peace on the nest there with everything else going on. So that
that's the Christian walk. That's the discipline. That's what the training does for you, that you can rest in God,
right,
and rest in His care, so that when everything all around you is falling apart like crazy, people are going to look at you and say, "What's your problem? Why aren't you pulling your hair out?" It's because you're resting in God and His promises.
Yeah. The peace that surpasses all understanding.
That's right.
I think we can learn a lot from God's creatures.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a bird building a nest now under the eaves of the porch, and we've had that before. And it just never ceases to amaze me how they're so obedient and just sit on the nest for days and days and days. I mean, no TV, no electronics. They just sit there. The mother bird just sits there because that's what she does, at peace. Not complaining, just doing what she needs to do.
Content.
That's her lot in life. Our lot in life is to follow Christ, to obey God, and to get closer to Him. That's what He wants from us.
Mm-hmm. That's what my dog does. I go out, and she's right there. Ginger's in the car. She wants to be with me.
Yeah.
Just sits in the car until I get out of service 4 hours later. You know, I have to go check on her. But that's how we should be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just want to be with Him all the time.
Yep. Good. Okay. Verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And this is what Tansy was leading into just now about being careful who we associate with and so forth. This brings us to, this is a very interesting section. First of all, it says that we are looking carefully. So, you know, we're to watch over one another,
right.
You know. It says looking carefully or taking oversight, you know. That's just being your own little world, you know. We're to watch out for each other. Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. I put down a couple of verses in Hebrews. I'll turn real quick. We've already gone over these at length, but this is a good reminder. It says, verse 13 says, of chapter 3 of Hebrews says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I should have gone before that. 12 and 13. Verse 12 was, beware, brethren, lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So there's a warning to the people. You know, we talked about this evil heart of unbelief way back when, in departing from the living God. And then in verse 18 and 19, that same chapter, they talk about, it said, and to whom did God swear that they would not enter into His rest? But to those who did not obey or who did not believe. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so this peace that passes all understanding, you know, there's a condition. And we are to watch over each other so that, you know, there isn't an evil heart of unbelief. You know, a lot of people don't think unbelief is evil. It's just that's what they believe. But the Bible says it's an evil heart of unbelief.
It's interesting. The NIV version says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. It's interesting.
There's somewhere where it says, made of no effect. Made of, not sure.
Yeah, well, that's when you're putting something in place of the cross, like your works, what the cross has done. And then Jesus suffered.
Other gods? for them.
Yeah,
too,
or well, it's your works.
Yeah.
You know, like,
your
well, if I do this, this, and this, then I'm a good person.
Right.
Mm.
And if I'm a good person, I go to heaven. That's what some religions believe. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's adding to the Bible. It's adding to the work of the cross.
Okay.
Religious. It's a religious activity, usually.
Yeah, can be, yeah. So it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. Can somebody read Deuteronomy 29, verses 18 through 21? Because that's where this phrase, root of bitterness, comes from. Look at that.
18 to 21.
Yes.
Yeah.
29, 18 through 21.
So that there may not be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunken could be included with the sober. The Lord would not spare him, for when the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would not would blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord would separate him from the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law.
Okay. Good.
Pretty clear.
Yeah. Well, one thing that struck me is in verse 18, the root-bearing bitterness is a person. It's a person. And so when in Hebrews, when he's talking about this, he's talking about a person. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. Not a thing, it's a person. You know, it's one who turns away from their faith in the Lord, and they get involved with other things. In this case, other gods in Deuteronomy. But Moses in verse 19, he describes that person, and he's, you know, he says when he heard the words of this curse, he will boast. You know,
he's going to. Where was that found?
In Deuteronomy 29.
19.
Verse 19.
Oh, verse 19.
He's describing that kind of what that kind of person is like.
Also, look at verse 18, how the progression is.
Yeah.
There's a man or a woman, singular, and that progresses to a clan or a tribe.
Mm.
Bitterness can spread.
Exactly, and that's what he's saying in Hebrews.
It's just like a ripple. You throw a pebble into a
pretty soon.
See how the ripple crosses everything.
Right. Yep. Right.
Sin does not isolate it.
Right. Right. And this guy's attitude is, you know, in verse 19 is, I'm all right. This doesn't refer to me. I'm okay.
Yeah.
How many times have we heard this?
There's
you know?
A book when I was going to school, I'm okay, you're okay.
Oh, yeah.
That was taught in college.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. I'm not okay. And you're
That's
not
right.
okay.
That's right.
Right. But what does verse 20 say? What's going to happen to this person? The Lord shall never be willing to forgive that person. The Lord would not spare him, and the word spare is forgive, you know, so it's a warning.
I know. It's so important to examine ourselves, because, you know, so many call themselves Christians, but that attitude is not fair, and they're fooling themselves, so we all need to examine ourselves each day. And where are we? Yeah. Are we right with the Lord?
Yeah. Well, the way the world thinks, it kind of is accepting, and we'll see this as we go into the next verse or two. You know, but it says here that it describes the root of bitterness as wormwood. You know, it's poisonous. You know, it spreads. So not only does that person err from the truth, but he brings others along with him, you know, in erring into
What's
the truth.
What's that oil spill? Wasn't it called wormwood? The oil spill? What's it called? Chernobyl?
No,
that was radioactive.
Yeah, and then they translated the word, and it was, Chernobyl was wormwood.
I think you're right.
Really?
I think
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, whoa, this is biblical.
Yeah.
Well, Ukraine is still suffering from all that. All the radioactivity blowing down from.
Okay, I'm gonna speed things up here. I did give you two verses here, 2 Timothy 3:5 and Ecclesiastes 9:18. You can read that later if you like. But basically, 2 Timothy 3:5 says that having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such people turn away.
That's what I think is so scary.
It's dangerous to the body.
It's so dangerous.
Yeah, right. And, Ecclesiastes 19 basically says that one sinner destroys much good.
Yeah.
A rotten apple can
spoil
the bunch, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But let's see if we can finish. Let's see. Verse 16. Yeah, I really want to spend a little time in 16 and 17 because I think this is very interesting. Verse 16 says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know," in verse 17, "for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." Okay, I thought this was very interesting. He gives two examples of this kind of person. One is an immoral person, a fornicator. And the other is a godless, profane person. And you kind of understand the immoral person. It's kind of easy to assess that that's a problem. But a profane person is the second example of a bitter root. And I thought it was interesting that of all the people in the Bible that you could pick, he picks Esau. And I mean, on the surface, I was like, why Esau? Why would you pick Esau? He wasn't an immoral person, as far as we know.
His father loved him.
Right. So why is he someone that who should not be tolerated?
Takes lightly.
Taking the gospel so flippantly.
Okay.
Like his inheritance was so flippantly taken.
Okay, yeah. Right.
And take it to what we're looking forward to. That would be the same thing. If we know the truth and we disregard it.
Yeah. We know the truth.
We take grace for granted.
Right.
I'm saved, so I could go out and drink and everything and drug and stuff because God's going to forgive me anyway.
That's flippant.
Right. I'm going to read real quick that story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob cooked the stew, and Esau came in the field and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I'm weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die, so what is the birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And to me, that's it. Esau despised his birthright. He despised what God gave him. The blessing that God gave him, he despised it. He didn't do anything wrong, He just wasn't interested in spiritual things.
Esau was for the moment.
Right.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep.
And that's going back to
like today.
Verse 25 in chapter 11 of Hebrews. It says, this is about Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin for a season.
Yeah.
Good.
For a season. Everything's temporary except our relationship with God, which is eternal.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what Satan tempts us with all the time for the moment?
Yeah, for the moment.
Yeah.
And Esau just wanted for the moment. Esau forgot.
Okay. He's carnal.
He failed right then.
Yep. Yeah. And Jacob was shrewd.
He was.
He's a conniver.
Right. So, and I wrote that down here. I said, by today's standards, Esau would be the good guy. He's the nice guy, right?
Yeah.
Right. And Jacob is the swindler. He's the name.
Yeah, he's
but
yeah,
God's got it the other way. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Because it's what one man saw was important and the other one didn't.
Right. Yeah. One's looking to his future.
Jacob wanted that importance.
Yeah.
Any means again.
You know, look good on the outside. And, you know, it's so hard. Tell the young people today, you've got to choose because you're going to have effects in the long run. You know, don't go into bad things, drugs, alcohol, and stuff. Because the long run, how do you see yourself in 5 years?
They don't.
You know?
They don't. I remember when I was younger, I had a friend that my mother like forbade me to associate it.
You didn't understand.
I see nothing wrong in
her. Exactly.
So she's so cool. You know, she play guitar, she drink beer without glass, just like that. And I mean, for, you know, 14, 15 years old, so cool. I mean, you know, and start to smoke too in that day. And my, I didn't understand why my mother stopped me from being friends with her. And I love to be her friend. But, you know, a few years later, when I see what
where they ended up
into, and I was glad that I had a mother who stopped strict. Me from that. But at that time, no. The more she said, the more I resented.
Sound familiar?
And I sneak out and, you know, okay, go with her, see her boyfriend, do something, you know, nice. But maybe drink a few beer, I didn't know, but just...
One quick observation on this, the sin does not always come in an ugly package. This was a pretty thing, and it was given to him by somebody he trusted who was his brother.
That's
fell into deep sin. So we have to, you know, he didn't think of the consequences, but it was a familiar, eating is familiar, he was hungry, and his brother gave it to him.
Right.
So I think we have to be, that's, you know, our eyes have to be open.
Is that saying familiarity breeds contempt?
A lot of times it's true.
You know.
Yeah. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, yet God speaking, and he says, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated.
Yeah.
That's strong words.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's all because of Esau's attitude.
Mm-hmm. Attitude, right.
Yeah, it's all, like you said, it's all about today. There's one other thing before we close. Verse 17, kind of always, I never really understood it, and kind of as I started studying more, I think I have a better picture of it. But it says, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. And I never understood that until, you know, I was studying this, and the Greek translation was a little different in that, you know, what Esau sought, is my understanding of this now, is what Esau sought was the blessing. He wasn't looking for the place of repentance. He wanted the blessing. When I was studying, that's the Greek translation. He wanted to bypass repentance and get the blessing. And he was upset about it because later on he realized the value of it, but it was too late. And he wasn't willing to... He wasn't willing to repent. You know, he just wanted the blessing. He wasn't willing to change his mind and live a different way, or, you know, he just wanted that blessing. He wanted the inheritance.
Because he was the firstborn, and that was the custom, right?
Yeah.
He didn't get deeper than that.
It was due him.
Yeah, it was due him, right. But if we step out of God's will, the only way back is repentance,
right.
You know?
Because
Esau was full of emotion, he was full of tears.
Yeah, too late.
He cried, but that's not what God's looking for.
Too late. I mean, today is a day of salvation.
Yeah.
You know, when the Lord calls you, one day the Lord's going to close the door, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, he didn't give us that second chance. Well, he's given us over 2,000 years so far.
Yeah. So it's a warning, but it's good news, too. You know, it's good news because in the present, if you're only interested in the pleasures of this life, those are going to come and go. But if you're like Esau and you ignore and neglect the divine, you ignore neglect the promises of God and all the future inheritance that he has for you,
the pleasures of sin for a season.
Yeah.
A season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Temporary.
But we should be encouraged that, you know, God has blessings for us, inheritance for us, but it comes with holiness too. Well, good. Did pretty well. Let's pray. Tansy, would you close us?
Father God, this was a harsh word today. Lord, because you are a holy God and you're righteous. And Lord, this world, even our Christian world, has made you into something that you're not. So Lord, I pray that each one of us would wake up to who you really are, that we would surrender every part of our life to you. Lord, that we would exhort one another, that we would be very diligent in our faith. Lord, I pray that any part of the world that's in any part of our heart or mind, that your Holy Spirit would expose it to us, that we might repent and be healed. Lord, that we may be full of your light. So I just praise you and thank you for this lesson today. I thank you for the beauty of your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I thank you for Bill's diligence in bringing this message to us. We thank you also for Jeff, who is now with his family. Just bless him today. We pray for John, who will be also teaching. Just a blessing down upon him. And Lord, we just give you the service that we might seriously worship you today and not be distracted by anything else, but really turn our hearts and minds over to you, that you might do a great work within us. We thank you for the message that's going to come forth from your pulpit, Lord, that we might be challenged. Lord, all good things come from your throne room of grace. So, Lord, give us the discernment to know what is not from you and what is from you. And we just give you our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Can we say a prayer from Mrs. Kim?